Over the last number of weeks, we have been looking at popular expressions and proverbs that are used perhaps on a day-to-day basis, and we have been examining their whether they are valid or not in the light of Scripture. We've looked at various expressions. God helps those who help themselves. Is that right? Not according to the Scriptures. God helps those who are without strength in His sight. We have another proverb, another expression that's heard commonly concerning forbidden fruit. That forbidden fruit is always sweetest. Well, we want to examine that in the light of Scripture this evening and see what God might say. Let's just seek God's help in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank Thee for this precious book that we hold in our hands, the Word of God that we can read, that we can meditate upon, that we can study, that we can put into practice for the glory of our Savior. Come and speak to us now through the sacred page. May Thy Holy Spirit, who has penned and preserved these words, now come and write them upon our hearts. Give us understanding of the passage that we read. May its message not be lost to us, but may it instruct us and guide us and bring us into that pathway of life through the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Well, tonight, as I've said, we want to look at that expression concerning forbidden fruit. That forbidden fruit is always sweeter. And the idea behind that expression is that that thing that is just out of reach is better than anything you have ever had before. That thing that is being withheld from you or denied to you is the best thing that you could ever have. Forbidden fruit is always sweeter, they tell us. Now, we don't deny that the devil has some very sweet fruit. But what I want you to realize this evening is that everything that he presents to you is fake. Or as one old preacher once said, the devil has some pretty apples, but after that you bite into them, you find that they all have worms. All of Satan's apples have worms. That which was promised to be so sweet turns out to be most bitter after all. And here in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son is perhaps one of the most familiar stories in all of the Bible. And we want to use it as a backdrop this evening to prove that each time the devil promises happiness, he lies. Every time he promises that things will turn out well, he deceives. That everyone who ever depended upon the devil's lie, or the devil's way, or the devil's plan for a happiness and for peace, found out to their bitter cost that they were duped, fooled, deceived, and that forbidden fruit that was offered that seemed so sweet was bitter in the end. I want us to see, to recognize firstly that Satan does have some beautiful fruit. And you can picture the prodigal son here, as he's lying thinking upon his life and what the future might hold, and how dull his existence seems. How dull his home life seems. Why he has to obey his father, and what a distasteful thing that is for this young man. I don't want to stay here and do what I'm told. I don't want someone telling me what time I must get in or what time I must be in bed. I don't want anyone to tell me what time to get up or what company to keep. I want to go to that place or this place without someone telling me whether I can go or not. And so the prodigal son thinks to himself, if only I could get out from under my father's thumb, if I could get to the far country, how happy I would be. Because everything about that far country seems so much better than what I currently have. And he comes to his father. And he as much as says, Father, if you're going to give me anything in the inheritance, give it to me now. Because when you die, I might be an old man of 30, and my chances of having a good time will end. I'm not willing to wait. I want to have my part now and go and enjoy myself. And so the father divided unto them his living. Because how distasteful the things of home were to that young man. Didn't want to obey his father's rule. Didn't want to work so hard for the things that he needed. He's not the only one that thought that way. Why does it have to be so hard? Work such long hours? You remember when God said to Adam in the Garden of Eden, after sin had come in, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Now the Lord did not say that it cursed the ground to be a constant reminder that he, God, hated mankind, that he was punishing them to make them unhappy or miserable, that he wanted to wear them out with hard labor. Rather, God said, I've done it because I love you. I've cursed the ground for your sake, and you're going to have to work for a living. But of course, the devil will come and say, you don't need to do that. You can make a living without working hard for the Father. He's always got an easier way. He'll come to the student and say, you don't need to study hard for your exams. Why, just cheat. But you'll soon find out that the devil is a liar. And the cheat gets caught. He always has an easy way to get by without work. To make a living, just be smart. Just put a few dollars on the horses, and why, you'll be a millionaire overnight. And if it's not the horses, it will be the poker machines or the lotteries or skimming off the top or defrauding your neighbor. There's always an easier way. This young man is saying, I don't want to be under the authority of my father and obeying him. I don't want to be out in the fields working hard when I can have it so easy. I don't want to be denying myself the pleasures of this world. And watching there as he looks upon the world and thinks that everyone is having a better time than he is. That everyone gets it so much easier than what he has it. Everyone else can do what they want, when they want, and nobody stops them. It's not fair, he says, if only I could get to the far country. As long as I'm at home and under my father's rule, I can't have this thing or that thing. I can't go this way. I can't keep company with these people. I don't want to obey anymore. I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it. What do my parents know anyway? And the devil makes the far country seem so appealing. He paints it in glowing colors. Notice as he whispers in his ear, why, out in the far country, there's such a wonderful time to be had. There's good music, and there's dancing, and there's wine that flows, and there's beautiful people to be with, and there's no rules. Everyone does as they please, and there's such a wonderful time. So much better in the far country. That forbidden fruit that seems just out of reach, and the young man thinks to himself, I must have it. I must have it. Let me remind you that Satan recycles old lies all the time. Remember as he came to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said to Eve, did God tell you that you would die if you ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? You'll not die. God just doesn't want you to have a good time. He doesn't want you to enjoy just how good that fruit might be. He knows if you take it, you'll be wise. You'll be as God. You don't have to eat it. Just look at it. Just touch it. Just smell it. Just take it off the tree and feel the weight of it in your hand. Isn't it wonderful fruit? Ripe and mellow and smells so good. That's how the devil works. We're told that Eve saw that the fruit was good. And she took it. And then she ate it. Bit by bit, little by little, he seduced her into taking that which God had prohibited. He does it all the time. It's the same thing again and again and again. You don't want to get drunk? Don't get drunk. Just take a little. You don't want to embarrass your host by refusing a drink? Just take one. Do you no harm? You don't want to be a party pooper. You don't have to get drunk. Just take one. But that's what the devil said to Eve in the Garden of Eden. You don't want to eat the fruit? That's okay. Just take it and hold it for a while and see what you think. Oh, here's some beautiful fruit. Oh, young man, the far country has much to appeal. You'll have lots of friends. You can stay out as late as you like. And there's wonderful nightclubs and cocktail parties and all of the beautiful people are there. You don't have to stay here. And the forbidden fruit appears so sweet. And we have to be fair. We have to be honest. When the prodigal son left home, he had a whale of a time. As long as it lasted. There were beautiful apples everywhere. There was pleasant fruit all around. And he went to the far country. And he spent his money. And he had the best time that he could ever imagine. He wasted his substance with riotous living. He lived high for as long as the money lasted. And the devil does the same today. He dangles every allure of the world before the eyes. And he is a deceiver that's bent on the destruction of people. Because while the devil indeed has beautiful fruit, I want you to recognize that each of those fruits have a worm at their center. All the devil's apples have worms, the old preachers. Notice what happened. This prodigal son, he went into the far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Oh, there was some beautiful fruit that enticed him to the far country, but that beautiful fruit had a bitter aftertaste. Each apple had its worm. That's what you find with what the devil offers. Sometimes you take a bite of that fruit, and worse than finding a worm, you find half a worm. You'll find that you've swallowed already some of the bitterness of sin. The sins committed. And you can't get away from it just as easily as you thought that you might. You find all along that the devil was a liar. And it's too late to retract some things. And it's too late to live over again some things. The sin has been committed. And while it can be forgiven, the scars remain. Years can be wasted. Money gone. The body diseased because of sin. A father at home brokenhearted. Disgraced. by the wastefulness of his wayward son, a mother sobbing her heart out every night, tears flooding her pillow. And what has this young man found except that that which was promised to be pleasant has turned out to be anything but it? The forbidden fruit that promised to be so sweet turned out to be bitter. The psalmist said in Psalm 37, in verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." David, don't fret because of that old sinful man. Don't complain because he seems to be getting along better than you are. That was David's complaint. "Lord, here's a sinner and he's getting better on in life than what I am. He's having a good time and prosperity, and here am I living for you. And I'm finding it tough. And here's a man who's living for the devil and he seems to prosper." You know what God said to David because of that? "All of Satan's apples are worms." He said, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." What was God's word to David when he seen the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? Just wait. Just wait. Don't look at it now, David. See how it will be in the end. Those things that the devil presents that appear so beautiful and so sweet and so prosperous, you'll find that if you watch for a while, there's only bitterness. There's only disappointment. You'll find that each of those apples have a worm at their center. Turn back in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs for a moment, please. Proverbs chapter 5. The book of Proverbs presents us with many wonderful illustrations of this gospel truth. Proverbs chapter 5. And we're commencing to read at verse 3. There we read, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb." Isn't she sweet? Aren't her kisses sweet? Aren't the allure of her arms around you sweet? Isn't her perfume sweet? Isn't her hair soft and her skin soft? "The lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb." There's a promise of sweetness here. "Her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell." There's a promise of sweetness in the lips of a strange woman, but in the end, there's bitterness, and there's death, and there's hell. Oh, sin can appear beautiful to begin with. Satan himself, we're told, is transformed into an angel of light. How deceiving he comes. How beautiful and sweet the sins that he offers. He promises much, but he delivers nothing. In the end, there's only bitterness. That's the Bible's lesson. Do not judge by the beginning, judge by the end. It doesn't depend upon how the devil makes it look to begin with. You'd better see how God says it will finish. That forbidden fruit that looks nice and smells nice and may even taste nice Listen, the bitter truth is this, when you take it to its end, you find only sorrow and disappointment and broken heart and smote conscience and the torments of hell. Listen, the scripture says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You can have all of the sweetness the devil promises. You can drink it down. Prodigal boy in the far country, you can have your fill. But in the end, those last drops of the cup will be as bitter as wormwood. Every promise of a good time the devil makes is a lie. It's a lie. Let me turn you to another passage in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 23 and the verse 31. And again, we draw your attention to the fact of not how things appear at the beginning, but how they are at the end. Proverbs 23 and verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his colour in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, the scripture says, but it looks so beautiful, so appealing. See the bubbles, see the foam, see the sparkle. See the light that comes on in the eyes of those who take it. Why, their eyes seem brighter. And they become so witty. And everyone laughs at their jokes. And a few drinks later, they have such a good time. Their inhibitions are lowered. They used to be so quiet, so timid. But now they can stand before crowds and make speeches. They can sing louder than anyone now. But listen, what does the Bible say? Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his colour in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, you better think of what's in the core before you swallow that whole apple. At the last, it biteth like a serpent, it stingeth like an adder. At the last. And at the last, this prodigal boy found that his money was gone. His money was gone. And not only was his money gone, but his friends were gone. I think that poor old drunk that spends his money each night in the pub, taking his fill of all that he can get, only when his money runs out to be kicked out onto the curb. The simple fact is that the devil's crowd are not good friends when your money's gone. His money was gone, and his friends were gone. And then we're told that there arose a mighty famine in the land. Notice the progression of sin. His money's gone. That's the natural result of our sin. Then his friends were gone. There's no one to help. The devil, who had promised so much, abandoned him when he finds himself in a tight spot, and now there's a famine. Here's God's punishment upon his sin. A famine is the end result of abandoning God. You cannot sin and get by. God never lets the prodigal boy stay in the far country, wasting his substance without there being consequences. There are always consequences. And he finds himself tending pigs. Something that he thought as a young Jewish boy that he would never do. That most unclean of animals to the Jewish people. And here he is, not only feeding them, but wishing that he could eat their very food just to bring some satisfaction. He came to a famine. All the fruit that seemed so sweet and pleasant has now turned bitter. It's been well said that Satan has no happy old people. They thought they were happy. But the further they go on, the more they realize that they are not. And the deeper that they bite into that forbidden fruit, the more bitterness they find. What's the answer? It's to do as this young man did, throw away those forbidden fruits. Throw away Satan's apples. Throw them away. We are told of this young man that he came to himself. He's had his first sensible thought in many a long year. The Lord says in Isaiah 1 and verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together," saith the Lord. Yes, he's been a fool. He's been a wastrel. He spent his money like water. Perhaps he threw it all away in one night at a poker game. We were not told. But that which took his father years to save, he spent in a short period of time. But I tell you one thing about him. He at least has the sense to admit that he's wasted it all. I fear for those that have acted as the same kind of fool but have never faced up to the facts. This young man said, as he perished with hunger, "I will arise and go to my father." It's the first sensible thought that he had in years. "I will arise and go to my father." Being saved is as simple as that. In fact, it's even simpler. It can be done even quicker than these words can be said, that the boy rose and came to his father. If you will admit in your heart that sin is a wicked business, that the devil is a deceiver, that it doesn't pay to follow him, if you'll take and throw those apples of Satan away and turn to God, he will give you his blessed fruit now. And how sweet that fruit truly is. And a million years from now, that fruit of God will still be sweet. Yea, even sweeter. "He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. They shall be wise, they shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." God promises righteousness and peace and joy without disappointment. We sang the words this morning from Amazing Grace. When you think of the ages to come, in a million years and more, God's grace will still be amazing. We'll never go beyond. His fruit will still be sweet. And he says, "I will arise and go to my Father. I'm going to turn my back on this wasted life. I'm going to confess to my Father the mess that I've made and the sin that I've followed, but I'm turning away from it. I'm going to my Father." Yes, Satan has fruit that seems pleasant, but its end is bitter. You had best be throwing that fruit away and coming to God and having the wonderful blessings that he bestows. And what does the young man find when he returns to the Father, except that the Father had more than what Satan could ever have given? His Father has everything that is good. We find the Father running to meet him and falling upon his neck and kissing him. Never believe the lie that the devil's crowd is friendlier than the Lord's crowd. The devil will never give you anything like this. Here the Father comes and falls on his son's neck and kisses him and kisses him and keeps on kissing. He starts to confess, "Father, I've played the fool. I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight." He had planned to say, "I'm not fit to be your son. Make me as one of your servants, one of the hired men." He never got to say it. His Father had already forgiven him. He's kissing him. And he's saying to the men of the house, bring a robe for the boy. His garment had turned to rags. That's where the devil leaves us, in rags. Bring him a fresh robe and put a ring on his finger. Here's a sign of sonship. He's not a servant. He's not as one of the hired men. He's my son. And kill the fatted calf. And let us be merry. My son that was dead is alive again. He received more from his father than what the devil ever promised. Don't wait in the pig pen of sin. The hymn writer said, let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. We can't make ourselves presentable to the Lord. We can't clean ourselves up so that God might accept us. We either come to him as worthless, needy sinners, or we will not come at all. Throw away Satan's apples. They're worthless. They're deceptive. Come to the Father who has only good things for you. And how glad you will be in eternity to come that you're able to say that God is your Father and by the new birth you are his child. Come and be saved. Oh, what feasting there was in the Father's house. Oh, what blessing there was in that robe of righteousness. What security in that ring of sonship. The rejoicing at the Father's table. Feeding on the good things of the Father's house. Tell me, do you not want to come to the Father's house? Have you not tried and proven that that forbidden fruit that Satan offers brings only bitterness and worms? Throw away the devil's lies. Leave the devil's company. It leads only to ruin. His cup is bitter. His apples have worms. His end is destruction. Come and say with this young man, I will arise and go to the Father's house and know that even as you arise, the Father runs to meet. Forbidden fruit is not sweetest. That which Satan offers is bitter in the end. And I know that there are some here that can testify that they've tried it both ways. And they know that sin does not pay. It breaks the heart. It smites the conscience. It ruins the lives. But oh, what peace the Lord Jesus Christ gives. They've tried both ways and found that the devil's way did not pay, but God's way does. If you're not saved this evening, will you not come to the Lord and say that you're tired of the life of sin, tired of the ways of sin, tired of the judgment of sin, and pray that God might have mercy upon you? God will forgive you. You have come to the Father's house and find that rejoicing. Oh, I trust that you will, if you haven't already. That your eyes will be opened, that like this young man, that you'll come to yourself, come to your senses, and know that the only hope for eternity that you have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's he that brings us to the Father's house. We read in John 14 of the Lord Jesus going to the Father's house to prepare mansions for those that love him. And he says, I will come again and receive unto myself those that are trusting him. Tell me, is there a space in the Father's house for you? Have you come in repentance and faith and called upon God for his mercy? Don't be swallowing the devil's lies. Its end is only bitterness and loss. Come to the Lord while he yet calls. And come believing.